This episode is sponsored in part by Swim. Okay, here's a depressing stat. 70% of shoppers who want your products never actually buy them. They browse, they consider, then they forget. That's revenue walking out the door. Swim Wishlist Plus turns browsers into buyers. Customers save products they want, get notified when prices drop or items restock. You can also engage them in personalized fashion through your marketing or sales outreach. It's like having a personal shopper reminding them to come back and buy from you instead of your competitors. And 45,000 stores already use it, and it only takes 5 minutes to install. You can try it free today for 14 days. Go to getswim.com/Kurt. That's swimwithay.com/Kurt. Turn those maybe laters into sales today. Getswim.com. Oh man, I love detailing cars. This is a strange hobby and interest, very zen-like, but I enjoyed it. I used to have a black car. I don't know that I could bring myself to own a black car again because they're so difficult to get that really great like gloss piano black look. And so I'm really into detailing, enjoy detailing. And because of that, I have been lucky enough to work with several car detailing brands on Shopify. Jay Leno's Garage, really, that helped us get our foot in the door with Shopify in many ways. So always grateful to them. Adam's Polishes. And then through those relationships, got introduced to other detailing businesses that I have been lucky to work with. And today I want to share one with you because it's a family-owned business. They started their business in 2008. I started mine in 2009. You know, it's an interesting story that I want to share with you today, and maybe you'll learn a few tips about keeping your car clean. And so I want to welcome Colby Stevens from Shine Supply to the show today. And of course, I'm your host, Kurt Elster, and this is the unofficial Shopify podcast. Let's hear an entrepreneurial Shopify story. Colby, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
How's it going?
Good. Very good. I'm excited to have you here. All right. You're a young guy. Tell us, how old are you, sir?
I'm 23. Turned 24 in September.
Oh my gosh, you're half my age. Well, a little more than half my age, but you're just a baby. How long have you been doing this?
Well, I mean, I've been detailing forever just because my dad, you know, started detailing in 1996, but I started working here at Shine Supply in 2019. Yeah, right out of high school.
And what was your first job at Shine Supply?
My first job was packing boxes, just make boxes all day, help pull orders, and that kind of just, I've been through like every department of the company for now.
Where are you working?
So now I'm doing all of the marketing and the media. So running all the socials, making sure, working with you with Shopify, handling any issues with Shopify if they need anything.
And so do you run the Shopify online store?
Yeah, I just make sure everything's good, like make the new products. If we're launching a new product, I take all the photos for it, make sure everything's dialed in on the website. All the graphics you see, most of them, I just make on Photoshop. But basically all the marketing and the media, that's what I handle.
The marketing efforts you've been doing, because you're relatively new to it, what are the channels that are working? Where are you seeing success?
Our biggest platform is going to be Instagram. That's how my dad grew the business, was on Instagram. Last month was the first month we've ever done paid ads, ever. We're starting to dive into like some meta ads just because I feel like we have very good content, a really good message, and obviously really good products. And you're so limited with something like Instagram or TikTok on, you know, your reach. I think we started about like $10 a day, just like the bare minimum, just to get our feet wet with meta ads. But yeah, I feel like the platform to answer your question would be Instagram. We're starting to get some traction on TikTok, but Instagram is kind of where we push the most in terms of content.
I would imagine, you know, with detailing, you could do, you know, these great videos of like before and afters, or like I love pressure washing videos, like the really satisfying ones where it's like, here is something filthy, and then they show you, you know, cleaning it. you do anything like that? Like, what kind of video gets traction?
So we don't, I mean, those videos are great, don't get me wrong, but it's not like realistic. You're not going to get like a, I know a lot of companies will do like, we have this junkyard car and look at how clean we get it, but that's not like your average customer can't really relate to that. So I don't, that's not really our lane in terms of videos, but the best videos that we have found work the best are going to be, we have a person we work with. His name is Bryce and he lives in Virginia. He's like one of the two people we work with in terms of like ambassadors. And it's literally just with this phone, just with his iPhone. And he puts it on a tripod and he washes his truck with no music.
That's it. Makes it sound so simple. But all right, so this was like a...
it's like an ASMR.
An influencer like you watching. Paired with?
Yeah, his name's Bryce. I am Bryce on Instagram and TikTok. Yeah, it gets thousands of views. It's very simple. They're very like satisfying, like how you're talking about with like the pressure washing.
Yeah.
Super satisfying. He lives in Virginia. It's really green. You know, he's got like wind chimes in the background. So it's like an experience, but those definitely do the best.
Interesting. Every time. Okay, I like that.
It's crazy.
But it's like, all right, we've got our Zen video is what does the trick.
Yeah.
So like detailing, you know, I said, hey, I work with multiple detailing brands. And what's so interesting about detailing, it's competitive. But like the space is more communal, you know, like the, there are forums dedicated to this. There are people who do it as a hobby, people who do it as like a small business. And then that, and then, you know, larger brands that have detailing supplies like yourself. But this started as just a detail, like a mobile detailing business, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad started detailing in 1996.
What made him, what made you guys say, you know what? Let's also, because like obviously you're buying the supplies. You're like, well, let's manufacture it too.
Mm-hmm. So the reason why the leading up to starting Shine Supply, my dad had been mobile detailing. I have three brothers. So my dad was 20, I believe he was 27 with four kids. And he was distributing products for Meguiar's at the time. And he just needed more income. You know, you have four kids. My mom has always been a stay-at-home mom ever since she had my older brother. So mobile detailing, especially back then, you're making like, you know, 40, 50 bucks a wash, tops. Right, you know, right now you can make like 150 bucks. But you really just need more income. And he started Shine Supply because of that. He got his foot in the door with a guy at Meguiar's who got him into a blending company contact. And then that's how he started everything. But the gist of like why he started it was just because he needed more income for Ma, for our big family.
No, I get that. I got three kids. Detailing as a industry, kind of communal. People help each other out. It sounds like he was buying. Was he reselling? Was he like a distributor for Meguiar's?
Yeah. Yeah, so he was like a diehard Meguiar's fan forever. And
they're the ones essentially, a connection through Meguiar's is what inspired him and set him up to start manufacturing the product.
The lead trainer at Meguiar's was super tight with my dad and was like, dude, like you're so passionate about detailing. Like, I feel like you'd be really good. You started your own brand. And he's just like, oh, I'm like, he hates being like a sales guy. So he was kind of against it, but a lead trainer was just pushing him to do it because he's so passionate about it. He believed that my dad would be really good at selling just because he's so, like, he believes in it. You know, when someone believes in something, it's pretty easy to sell something because they believe in it so much.
And makes it authentic. But he's got, you know, this trusted authority figure, this third party telling him, like, hey, this, you could do this. I believe in you. And here, let me set you up with a connection. That's really cool. Always surprised by like the level of community to the detailing industry. But from there, you know, the issue with detailing is it's kind of a commodity, right? Like if I'm looking at my car, I'm like, well, I need soap, right? I got to wash the car. I need, you know, like there's no end to the amount of stuff I could buy, but it's essentially all pretty similar, right? It's like, mm-hmm. I need some microfiber towels. I need some detailer spray. I need some glass cleaner. Like there's stuff, but it's all pretty similar. How do you stand out in a space like that where, you know, a lot of similar product, a lot of overlapping product, and, you know, and people helping each other out in like tons of these brands.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing, something, you know, I listened to a podcast. It was about the owner of True Classics shirt brand.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, I mean, this guy scaled this thing from like 700,000 to like 15 million within like 5 years. So pretty gnarly dude. And he was talking about, you know, making people feel like an emotional reaction out of people with your stuff. And I think that's, my dad's like created a culture, you know, it's so much more than detailing, like a detailing product company. You know, when you think of Shine Supply, you think of the culture that comes behind it. Obviously our products are great, but I think what makes us stands out the most is we've always just stayed in our lane in terms of content. You know, we're not posting something to get a bunch of views. We're posting it because we want to, and it's what we believe in. And just the message, you know, my dad always pushes out, just working hard and staying passionate about what you love. And I think that's honestly, if I could put it into a short sentence, it would honestly just be the culture, is that's how we stand out, just like what we stand for.
And then how do you communicate that? Like social media posts, captions?
Yeah, social media. My dad does a lot of, for years he's been doing these Properly Shine quotes, does them all the time. But, you know, for, I want to say up until like 2020, the whole Instagram was, you know, ran by my dad, and he would just post like his whole life on our business page, like with all my brothers and just what he was walking through. And, you know, people, he's super vulnerable on there. And I think people could relate to that. And it started to, you know, attract people to the brand. And obviously the products work amazing, but it's something that people can like buy and get a feeling from it, rather than, you know, if you bought from, say, like Turtle Wax from O'Reilly's, or
right,
you know, you're just buying it because it's right there, not necessarily like buying it because you're impacted by the brand.
Ever had a customer cancel an order because they were shopping while high, or because they broke up with their significant other? Those are real reasons customers could cancel, and they're a real headache for both you and your customers. Why should they have to email support to change, cancel, or update an order? Enter Cleverific. With Cleverific, your customers can edit their orders themselves through a self-service portal. That means fewer support tickets, faster shipping, and fewer returns. Everybody wins. Peter Manning, New York, cut their order support by 99% with Cleverific. Now it's your turn. Listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast get 50% off the Pro plan. Just $49 a month. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50 at checkout. It's less hassle, happier customers with Cleverific. If you've got 80,000 followers on Instagram, it's those people seeing it, seeing the people behind it, putting the family business story together, and then buying because they're like, I like the product, I like the content, and I want to support them.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we have like a YouTube channel, but it only has like 8,000 views. I usually just recycle the videos I post on Instagram and put them on a TikTok. But yeah, that Instagram and like word of mouth has been like the driving force for the brand up until now. That's the majority of where we put our marketing efforts to, and I think that's where most people find Shine Supply is from, Instagram.
With detailing products, you know, the issues become education and differentiation. And so like your products have interesting names. I'm looking at some of the top 10 products here. Number one, Wise Guy. Decked Out, Shift, Clutch, Punch It, Cool Guy. Obviously I need this. Hot Shot, and The Solution. And I'm like, that's, there's our top eight. That's great. But I don't know what any of them do. Tell me about, like, talk to me about the, like, the naming, you know, challenges, thought process there.
Yeah, my dad names all the products and he writes all the labels for them. My dad super grew up in the 80s, 90s, 70s. So he loves more like that old school automotive vibe. So that's where the names come from. In terms of education, that's probably one of our strong suits. And that's what we stand behind is our education on the products. For years, my dad would go on the stories and just walk through like a whole entire detail with our products. But now we just do our best to put as much education on our products as possible. My goal is to just put more on YouTube. So it's more stuff people can go back to, not scroll through our Instagram and try to find a video on how to apply Decked Out. But
yeah, when I go on the site, it's pretty smart. It's like, all right, I'm looking at Wise Guy, which Wise Guy cleans tires, and it tells you that. And it's obvious from the photo because the guy's spraying it on tires. And, but like when you see, you know, the photos, there's one product photo, the rest is action, and it looks so good. You like see, it just looks satisfying when you see it, like just all this dirt weeping off a wheel and tire. You're like, man, I want to clean mine too. That's how I feel when I see it. But then the product description really like sells it, removes old tire dressing buildup, leaving a clean canvas ready for our tire dressing, right? This are like the product description's already cross-selling the next product to get. And then there's a YouTube video that's got a really strong thumbnail, and it's how to clean your wheels and tires using Wise Guy and Cool Guy. And then he explains, you know, click through to it. And it's a really nice video, explains only 7 minutes, explains the difference, shows you how to use it, tips and tricks. So by the end of it, you're like, I trust this product, I trust this brand, I trust this guy, and you only watch the one. And, you know, I remember years ago, I had, you know, this black car with swirled up paint. I had to fix it. And so I'm going to go watch YouTube videos. At that time, it was like, you know, Chemical Guys and Adam from Adam's Polishes. And that was how I figured it out. And then, you know, those become the brands you trust. And tutorial content, you know, just does so well on YouTube. Talk to me about the process for making these YouTube videos, because they seem pretty slick. They look good.
Yeah, the videos, we had a lot of traction. I want to say like 2 years ago, we had a full-time media guy in here. And then I was like helping with like sales, but I would help the media guy at the time with YouTube videos. Those, all those YouTube videos you see, that was the media guy filming my dad with the iPhone. We had good traction there. And my dad, you know, we've grown substantially since that point. He's kind of stepped out of the on-camera role. I've started to step into that, but it's been a little difficult because I hold the camera too, so I can't like film myself. We're trying to get back into it. We're just trying to figure out, you know, the balancing of times and getting someone to film.
It's tough because like trying to do it, film yourself, you know, either handheld or tripod, it just makes everything so much harder and it takes so much longer. But just like just having it on a tripod, it's like not nearly as dynamic to have it a single static shot. So that's like, what do you do? Okay, well now I should do multi-camera. Well now everything's like so much more complicated. Yeah. Versus
just one, you know, is a lot.
If it's just you and one other person with an iPhone, like it's faster, way faster. It more dynamic because they could just move in the position. And then that iPhone, the video quality, and like, you know, any modern, I'm saying iPhone, but like I'm using it like Kleenex, any modern smartphone has great video quality. And you drop that into whatever video editor of choice. I'm lucky I know how to edit video, but man, I know it's time consuming. Like my own YouTube videos, I hired someone, you know, Christine, she's great. I had to get somebody else to do it for me. If there's so much value in the YouTube video, like I'm looking at a video, 13,000 views, and then like it really helps sell the product on the page, we got to be able to figure this out, right? Like, where's the hard part? The filming, the video editor?
It's more just, you know, right now we're growing so fast. I think it's more just getting the shop situated. We had to let go our operations manager like a month ago, and we've been rolling it. We've been rolling with no operations manager and having each department self-led. So like shipping is self-led by the lead in there. Our downflame department is self-led by the lead in there. We have someone in purchasing and inventory, and I think we're just trying to get everything set in stone to a good foundation, and then we can start jumping into the YouTube videos more. But it's more just, you know, getting in there and doing them. I'm not going to really sit like, here and make a bunch of excuses about it. It's more just we got to start doing them.
Well, it's tough. You know, they say the cobbler's children have no shoes. You know, it's like it's your own business, and it's easy to put off stuff like, hey, make a YouTube video. Because it, like, there's nothing holding your feet to the fire that says you have to make a YouTube video today. So yeah, I totally get it. It's an easy thing to deprioritize. You know, when there's other more pressing matters to attend to.
Yeah, but we definitely want to do more. It's not like, you know, I never want to be like, well, we're going to get orders regardless. We don't, like, let's not make YouTube videos. Like, we always want to be, our word this year is excellence. We always want to be better. So when the time's right, we'll start knocking out as many YouTube videos as we can. It's just more like getting this job situated, get a good foundation, make sure everything's running smoothly, and then jump to the next demanding task.
For sure. I mean, it sounds like you're in this incredible growth phase right now. And, you know, with that, like, there are growing pains for sure. But you did all that without really, it sounds like without paid ads up until this point.
Yeah. Till literally last month. I think we did $10 a day on like two ads.
Yeah. And even with the ads, you're like, you know, you're getting your feet wet. I like the way you're approaching it, you know, bootstrapping it and doing it without going organic, you know, trying to avoid burning money on ads. And then when you get into ads, being careful with it and trying to like figure it out yourself. Mm-hmm. And once you understand it, you know, if you hire out for it, it makes life a lot easier that you could speak the language.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have done email marketing, SMS. Did we do any of that?
Yeah, up till last year, we literally did not do, I think we had MailChimp, but we would, you know, I think MailChimp's super outdated. And it was just like the most basic emails we were sending out. But once I got into this role, I looked into Klaviyo. So kind of got our whole website integrated with Klaviyo. And we started pumping out more email marketing. I don't do a lot. I probably do like one or two a month just because I don't want to overload people. But when I do an email campaign and SMS campaign, they do very well. But yeah, like up until last year, we had like no email subscription, no SMS at all. We didn't have any like flows activated, no abandoned cart, no nothing. It's crazy.
Jeez. This episode is brought to you in part by Zipify One-Click Upsell. Hey, you still guessing which products to upsell? Yeah, look, that's how upsells worked like 5 years ago. But this year, in 2025, that kind of guesswork, it's just losing you revenue. One-Click Upsell by Zipify uses AI to recommend the best upsells and cross-sells based on your actual sales data, live, in real time. Yeah, it's smart, automatic, and way more effective than the old school, I hope this works, method. So just install the app, launch your first upsell funnel with one click. No code, no testing, and no more generic offers. You can upsell across the entire customer journey, the whole funnel, product pages, cart, checkout, post-purchase, thank you pages, even the shop app. And now they're tossing in a free cart drawer just for installing. Cart drawer is the best. Over 50,000 Shopify merchants trust one-click upsell, and it's already driven nearly $1 billion in extra revenue. So go to zipify.com/Kurt to start your 30-day free trial. That's zipify.com/KURT. All right, so you went from, you know, really not doing email marketing at all to go, you know, jumping up to Klaviyo, then setting up all the flows. Did this make a big difference?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does very well, especially all the flows, you know, like abandoned cart, automatic like replenish reminders. We've got,
oh, right. This is consumable good. That's the nice part about detailing. People have to keep buying.
Yeah. So I have like it set on, I think it's like 4 months because I don't want it to be like super insane where they're just getting blown up with emails all the time. But I think it's tough
because you don't know how often someone's washing their car.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to get annoyed because I know I have some companies and it's just like, dude, leave me alone. Like,
So the other thing I noticed on the site, like, man, you've got these products will get hundreds of reviews, which getting reviews.
Oh, that's
is not,
another thing I didn't even mention too. So we didn't have any reviews set up. Like, we had Judge Me, but it's like so outdated. I mean, when I came to you for our website, it was like, you know, our website was so outdated. It was from like 2014. And
oh, geez.
So when I got into this position, I was kind of messing with the website, like the website that you helped us with. That's kind of what I started with and got the website to. But we I did Luke's reviews.
Yeah, LOOX looks, yeah.
Yeah, and I started doing like, if they did like a photo or a video review, it was like 10% off. And that's how we get so many reviews now. Like, so
because of the discount?
Yeah, I would say like 75% of the reviews you're seeing is strictly from like the past year and a half.
That's crazy. And what's wild is they all have photos.
Just photos, videos
attached to them. And they're really good. It's just like clean truck after clean truck.
Like if I saw all these reviews, like I'm definitely buying it because like photo reviews and video reviews, it's very selling if you're like a consumer and you see all those reviews. It's very, very helpful.
So like early on, you mentioned, I've heard culture and community come up a lot. So I want to know like what you're big on culture. When you say building community, what does it look like? You know, what do we mean by having a community?
I think a lot of it's just community, just making people feel like involved. You know, like something that my dad's always been big on is making people feel like they're included, like in the brand. You know, when they tag us on Instagram, they don't just get like a like on their story. You know, I always make sure to comment on it. And if it's something like I can relate to, I'll comment on something like there's a jersey in the back. I'll be like, oh, like you like the Rams or something. Like I just make them feel involved or like loved.
You put in the effort.
I don't know. Yeah. I just want to make them feel like they're included. You know, I don't want to make them feel like they just buy our stuff and it's just like, oh, you're just another person that's buying your stuff.
And then your social media seems like there's a mix of, you know, it's like your own content and then you're mixing in customer content as well, UGC.
Yeah. So we have Bryce, who I told you about earlier with those ASMR. And then we have Anthony is a big media guy, but he's actually one of our shipping guys' son. So him and Bryce are the only two people we work with. And they make great content. But yeah, Anthony does an amazing job. He's kind of the one that we're investing in to kind of help us grab like a different audience, like more of like the car guys.
What audience were you getting before, if not car guys?
Oh, we're just like all truck guys. Lots of truck guys. I'd say we're like, obviously we have customers that have cars and they buy our stuff, but it's not like, I think a majority of our sales come from like, let's say a lot of blue collar guys, like firefighters or construction workers. They have nice trucks. A lot of the people from the East Coast, Bryce has brought a ton of those guys in. And it's like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with trucks, but it's basically like stock wheels with big grappler tires and like color matched trucks.
That's the look now?
Yeah. So that's a look over there at least. So we have a ton of customers that Bryce has brought in from the East Coast that have those kind of trucks. But I would say the audience that we're kind of trying to grab now is the car guys.
And it's funny. I mean, 100%, I know exactly what you're talking about. 100%. Yeah. Like car, anything aftermarket related gets put into these tribes, either by like vehicle make or, you know, style. And then it's funny to hear you describe it. You're like, you know, when I asked, I'm like, oh, color matched, you know, with the Ninoterra grapplers. Is that, you know, that look, you know, is that what's hot right now? And you said that, well, over there, you know.
Yeah.
What's funny is like car styling, aftermarket stuff, it's very regional in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Like here in California, I have like a truck. It's called a pre-runner. So it's kind of like a, you know, you take a truck you can buy and then you kind of build it into like a off-road truck. That's like huge in California. But then there's none of that. And like in the East Coast, it's all like these kind of stock trucks with paint matched and they'll squat them or they have like
the Carolina squat.
Yeah, the big old 22-inch wheels. It's crazy like the different regions of, like different truck and car build.
The stuff Instagram serves this stuff to me, and I love the stuff they do in Houston. I mean, just like nothing that I would necessarily build, but just like the wildest stuff. And it's like, oh, yeah. You put 26-inch wheels on that. And how tall are those tires? Are those rubber bands?
45-inch tires.
Yeah, they're just wild stuff. How long has the store been on Shopify?
2014, maybe.
When you took over that store, then you picked the theme, punched it up, and then later you hired me and I helped you fix the catalog, the menu, and the rest of the theme. What's the one thing that like you wish you knew going into it if you had to go back about Shopify?
I wish I knew how to like code and stuff like that. Like just because if I wanted to do something, I didn't want to like mess with it because I didn't want to mess it up more. Like when I was kind of doing the website, I was just going on YouTube and figuring out, okay, if I want it to look like this, what do I need to do? But I've loved to know how to code before because then I can do like cool stuff like how you did. That's probably the one thing.
It helps, but I will say it's also, you know, still an exercise in frustration. You're like, well, you know, I didn't want to mess it up. Oh, well, once you're messing with the code, for sure you'll mess it up. That's how you know when you've got it right.
Yeah, I just didn't want to mess it up beyond repairs. So I just kind of like did the bare minimum on, I mean, not the bare minimum, like to my capacity of skill set. Yeah. And then that's when we found you and I was so stoked because I was like, I want it to look like this, but I don't know how to do it. Can you do it?
Yeah, it's a fun one. It's always great when it's like, all right, this is successful, but they, you know, they know what they want. They just don't know how to get there, you know, and we get to be the people that help in between. But, you know, earlier we were talking, you said the past like 1 to 2 years has been stressful, but rewarding. What's the biggest lesson that you think you've learned?
I think more as like a whole, as like a brand is more going to be like getting your foundation set in terms of like the people here. Our biggest thing that always stands out that my dad says, like people over profit and like building, you know, you can't go anywhere if you don't have your team set. So I think investing in the employees here, investing in the staff and setting the foundation for the brand with the people you work with is like the most important thing we've learned just because we've, you know, me being here for 7 years next year, I've seen so many people like come and go and it's tough because it ruins like the whole entire flow of the company and the whole entire atmosphere of this whole building. So surrounding yourself with a good, you know, set of people here, investing in them, making them feel wanted, making them feel that, you know, when the company succeeds, they succeed as well. You know, it's not like they're just slaving away and then you have the owner that never comes in and kind of just watches them, doesn't really help. You know, my dad's in here every single morning. We have a meeting every single week and we do team lunch every Thursday. Like he's very invested in the staff. I think that's the most important thing that I've learned just watching is investing in the people you work with because they'll want to build with you. You know, then it's not like they're just coming in for a paycheck. I believe a lot of the people here would do this for free.
That's great advice. And that's, you know, quite the thing to build. What's got you excited about the future for Shine Supply?
Just the growth, honestly. Like, I want to be the best, you know. I strive for that. I want our content to be the best. I believe our products are one of the best. But I just want to be, like, one of the top brands. I want to be one of the top brands without going against our morals or our principles. Without sacrificing those. I think that's very important. You know, I know a lot of brands that have very good, strong morals and principles at first, and then, you know, sacrifice those to gain a profit. I don't think that's the way at all. You know,
I agree.
We could go on Amazon and just sell a bunch of stuff and completely, you know, disregard all of our dealers because no one's going to go to our dealers now that we have personal relationships with because they can buy it on Amazon. We also just don't want to be on Amazon. You know, we're not one of those brands, but stuff like that where
I feel that.
Yeah, you can make, you know, millions of dollars on Amazon, but you're going against your morals. That's never going to be worth it.
Absolutely. So, all right, if I wanted some detailing gear, where do I go? Plug the site.
ShineSupply.com is our website. We have over 40 dealers across the US. We have some in Hawaii. We have one in Thailand. We have a ton of dealers. The dealer map's on our website, but our website, shinespy.com.
Very cool. Yeah, check it out. Check out the content. And you know, I think their social media and their YouTube content's really good. But yeah, shinesupply.com for all your detailing needs. Colby Stevens, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, Kurt.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.